Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about living one day at a time with God. I thought maybe you'd like to hear a little bit about an Alka Indian woman's day. I've been telling you something about my own days living in the jungle with Indians. But from my book, The Savage, My Kinsman, I thought I'd read a description of what Mancamo did just one day. I sat in my hammock with my notebook and kept a record, moment by moment, of what she did. I woke about 4:30 to hear a soft cracking sound. Mancamo was sitting up in her hammock, peeling manioc. You may remember that manioc is a starchy tuber that is the main item in their diet. Peeling manioc without the use of any implement save her hands. She would tap a stick of manioc all around with another stick, split the skin, and peel it off with her fingers. Another sharp tap on the top of the stick split it into long pieces, which she threw into a pot. Then she blew up the fire and set on her pot. After breakfast, she packed up a basket of plantains, manioc, peanuts, and sweet potatoes, which must have weighed about 70 pounds. I tried to lift it and couldn't. She stooped down with her back to it, pulled the strip of bark up over her head, and heaved herself and the basket up. I accompanied her on the trail. She walked more slowly than she would have done without the basket, but her pace was steady, uphill or down, through rivers and over rocks. Ipa was with us, too. She had as big a basket as Mancamo, plus her 2-year-old child swinging from her shoulder in a piece of bark cloth, and a package of chicha in her hand. At one point she slipped and fell, managing to land in a sitting position so that the baby was unhurt. The load jerked her neck backwards as it fell, and she squashed the package of chicha. Chicha is boiled and mashed manioc. But she hopped up cheerfully, picked herself a new leaf to make the package again, set the carrying band on her head once more, and started off without a word, or even a whew. When we reached our destination, probably 12 or more miles away, Mancamo set down her load, cooked a big meal, swept the house, chopped wood, walked a mile or so downriver to get a jungle pod for eating, chopped a staircase into the cliff going down to the river, set up a platform over the fire, and spent the whole night smoking fish. I felt ashamed for ever having pitied myself, or for having thought of the Indians as lazy. What's on your schedule today? Do you think of it as a busy day? Rigorous? The kind of day at the end of which you're going to say, "Whew, what a day!" Strangely, I never once heard an Alka say, "Whew, what a day," or "what a trip," or "what lousy weather." They accepted life with amazing humility and patience. They took things as they came, and they really seemed to fulfill the rule of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict established a monastery many hundreds of years ago, and the rule there was that all was to be done without haste or sloth. That might be a wonderful motto for us to put up in the office, in the schoolroom, in the kitchen. Do it without haste or sloth. Haste makes waste, doesn't it, as the old adage says? And sloth is a terrible waste of time. It's hard for us to do things without haste or sloth. We live in a time when haste seems to be necessary. We have that wistful wish for simplicity, for peace, for time to do things. Well, how much time do you have? You have exactly the same amount of time that Mancamo has. Oh, yes, you say, but she doesn't have to do all the things I have to do. No, and thank God you don't have to do all the things she has to do either. When's the last time you sat up all night smoking meat? Because you had to. I mean, they depend on that, you know. It's a matter of survival. It was not recreation. They were not camping for fun. I remember when we came back to the States after having lived with Indians in the jungle, Valerie came home from school one day saying, "Mama, how come we never go camping?" I said, "Val, you know, we've been camping all your life." She said, "Oh, Mama, that's not what I mean. I mean real camping." Of course, what she meant was the kind that requires about $5,000 worth of equipment. But we have 24 hours in the day. In other words, we have exactly what God has measured out as being sufficient time. There is always time to do the will of God. I can't tell you how comforting that is to me, especially when I come back from a trip and find my desk piled high with stuff that I know I can't possibly get done. The Lord reminds me then, there is always time to do what I want you to do. There is time to do the will of God. It's the same Lord who was in charge of Martha, stewing in the kitchen, worrying about much serving. It's the same Lord who is Lord of the Alcas. It's the same Lord who knows all about what has to be done in your office, in your job, in your house, in your garage, on the lawn, in the garden. Where is your work? For whom do you do it? Pray that the Lord will make you a faithful steward of the time that he gives you. And your time will be more efficiently used, believe me, if you will stop sometimes, sit down, breathe slowly, consciously, and lift up your hands. Take five. Pray. Calm down. When I was living there with the Alcas, watching what they did, being constantly amazed at the energy that they had, such small people they were compared to me, so industrious, so wise in the ways of the jungle, so cheerful, so uncomplaining. I was rebuked many times with the realization of how much I complained about things, how much I thought about what I would like to change. Then my presence there was an endless diversion for the Alcas. They didn't have very many diversions, but I certainly was one of them. Here was this freak in their midst, this foreigner. A pitiful color. They'd never seen anybody the color of me, sort of pinkish white. My hair, they said, looked like palm fiber. My eyes like a jaguar's. They were always asking me, "What's this?" They would pick up my ballpoint pen or my notebook or my plastic bowl. "What is this? What's it made of? Where did you get it? Who made it?" Then they would ask me, "Can you weave a hammock? Here, try making this pot. Come on down and let's catch fish with our hands. Let's go out and look for wild honey." I couldn't do any of those things. They would throw up their hands and say, "Well, what can you do?" Well, there were a few things I could do. I could show them the National Geographic. Now, that was the most exciting thing that happened in the month. We would get mail dropped to us by parachute from the airplane, and when the National Geographic came, the house would be crowded. Everybody would come in and want me to explain each and every picture. You can be sure my vocabulary was severely strained in trying to explain the pictures of different cultures all over the world from the National Geographic. I was amazed at how they could remember practically every word I said. They would repeat it verbatim to the next person. I began to have a very deep respect for what's called oral tradition. Then my little daughter Valerie kept herself endlessly occupied, not just with the coloring books and the dolls that people sent her in the mail. She would prefer to build fires, to play with knives. Can you imagine how her grandmothers loved hearing that her favorite occupations were playing with fires and knives. Well, one day I kept a diary of what she did in a day. This is what I wrote. She spent the morning bathing, fishing, cleaning weeds, cutting papaya stalks to make toy blowguns, helping the girls roll logs off the airstrip, tending her can of tadpoles. This afternoon, she's upriver in the canoe with Kimmo and the boys, watching them spear fish. After lunch, she went with Iniwa, a boy of about 10, to dig sweet potatoes on the beach. Then he took her to the plantain patch where he cut the blossoms from some of the trees. There's a drop of nectar at the base of each, which the children love to suck. I'm thankful today that Valerie has a wealth of things which matter far more than a clean bed, a dry house, shoes, starched dresses, or visits to museums. She has the love of God, the river running by her bed at night, and the stars shining where she can see them as she lies down. She has the joy of misty dawns in the forest, of night birds and crickets and monkeys, of brown, naked children who are simple and unaffected, of little pets, tiny green birds, yellow birds, brown birds, diminutive monkeys, all tamed by the Alcas who seem to know and understand their ways and are forever patient and unforgetful in caring for them. What does your day hold this morning, this afternoon, this evening? Here's a little poem that may speak to you today. It is his will that I should cast my cares on him each day. He also tells me not to cast my confidence away. But oh, how foolishly I act, if taken unawares, I cast away my confidence and carry all my cares. Casting all your care upon him, for it matters to him about you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.